Well, apparently Hamas chief Ismail Haniyeh has discussed the latest Israeli proposal for a truce in Gaza in an exchange, a further exchange of captives for prisoners with Egyptian and Qatari mediators. Now, whether this will realize some fruition, there are many that are hopeful that during, or maybe by the course of the weekend itself, some sort of a truce will be agreed upon by both representatives of Hamas as well as the Israeli authorities. And this time, of course, with the assistance of Egyptian and Qatari mediators, Egypt has stepped up and played a role. Now, whether this is in the direct interest of Egypt, that they know very well that should a ground invasion of Rafah take place, then Egypt would be seen as a housing area for the tens of thousands of Palestinian refugees that may be pushed out of Gaza. Egypt, for their own interests, may not want to see it. The international community certainly not. And the international community from top to bottom here in South Africa as well, putting pressure on the end, a ceasefire immediately. Well, joining us is Dr. Mohammed Al-Masri of Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Masri.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dr. Al-Masri, the recent negotiations, this is ongoing, of course. We've been hearing this here for months now. But are we optimistic this time that some sort of a ceasefire or at least a truce will be reached in the near future?
I don't think so. Netanyahu made it clear that he wants a total victory. And we are now 6 months into this aggression. 150,000 between dead and wounded and missing Palestinians. So he's doing this purposely. It is just a game. He playing politics for his own sake and his party's sake. And he is in bed with the U.S. Totally. So U.S. is not a neutral in between Hamas and Israel. It is just they are working in tandem.
Dr. Al-Masri, I mean, what are exactly the objectives of Prime Minister Netanyahu? I mean, he has promised the Israeli public that he is now going to work his level best to release the hostages and then at the same time to destroy Hamas, all within the small area of Gaza, which has always been densely populated and represents, well, nothing but a dot on the map, of people. And even a landmass for that matter. The question is that are these both objectives actually reasonable? That, releasing the hostages and at the same time defeat of Hamas, which many may say is gone too late, that could never be done because the ideology certainly exists.
I think I read about Netanyahu personality. This person is full of hate to everything Palestinians or Arabs or Muslims. Edward Said wrote about him in length. Unfortunately, this is not in circulation. So my guess is, based on his personality and his background, remember he's been educated in the U.S., and he got a degree in management science from the MIT. And Edward Said really painted a picture of a racist person. So what I'm thinking is that he wants to drag this war. Of course, he can do negotiation here and there. He can threaten Rafah here and there. He can allow some aids to the Palestinians here and there. But I think what he's trying to do, he wants to drag this war to January 2025. The reason is, most likely, Trump will be in the White House, and Trump can offer Netanyahu a better deal than anybody else. This deal will consist of the following. The first one is that that Hamas has to give up all the resistance, all the weapons, and exchange for a ceasefire. And I think also no harm in having a Palestinian state with the capital part of Jerusalem, you know, suburb of Jerusalem. And also from this on, he can pressure Gulf countries, Arab countries, and the international community that this is the best deal, and Hamas will end its armed resistance. Remember, the Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza can offer Israel exactly what Jordan and Egypt is offering now. Remember, Jordan and Egypt have a peace treaty with Israel, and in fact, they are supporting Israel under the table.
Dr. Al-Masri, I mean, that may sound, of course, very good, but currently, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu is heavily dependent upon not direct support, but the support of ministers and a community of the ultra-conservative, you know, right wing. I'm sure such an agreement to any state in the West Bank and Gaza not going to go down very well with people like Itamar Ben-Gavir, not going to go down with very well, like people like Smotrich, who have in fact, who are in many ways representative of the settler community out there in the West Bank, who would be very hesitant and reluctant to see even a talk of a Palestinian state. And how would this go down with them? How would such a move, even though at the end of the year, you know, be supported by the right wing members of Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet?
Well, it will not actually go well, but this will be a final solution. Otherwise, Israel will face another 75 years of a cycle of violence. And the U.S. will lose also this region. You saw the exchange of fire between Iran and Israel. This is real. This is not a game. So, at the international level, remember, Zionists are fully exposed. The student demonstrations in the U.S. campuses and around the world is a game changer. So this one here will force somebody like Trump. Trump is a business dealer person. He has his son-in-law is a Zionist Jew. He can actually make a deal and can sell this deal to Israel, the extremist elements, as you mentioned, and also the moderate, slightly moderate. Remember, the people of Israel outside the politics are in support of this war. So Netanyahu has the leverage to extend this war till January. The U.S. is in a very weak election mode right now, supplying Israel with full military hardware and diplomatic and media and international court of justice, international court of criminal charges against Netanyahu and his ministers. So I'm doing an educated guess that the end game of Netanyahu, because right now any deal, it will show that he's very weak and he lost the war, okay? But if he can hold somehow till January with Trump is there and Trump can actually push and he Netanyahu can tell the Israeli, as you said, the conservative, the liberals, extremists, look, this is our friend in the White House. This is much better than Biden. He will get us Saudi Arabia to exchange ambassador with us, etc., etc. So I'm doing an educated guess. Of course, this will be on the expense of the 150 now 150,000 Palestinians who are dead, missing, and wounded, and maybe another 150 in the next 7 months.
Dr. Al-Masri, you know, from a geographical point of view, many people have viewed a map of what a future Palestinian state may be and said that, of course, a future Palestinian state must include the West Bank, parts of East Jerusalem, Jerusalem, of course, as a capital, and including the area of Gaza. Now, there have been many critics to this point by saying that, look here, you have Gaza that is not geographically connected to the West Bank. And if the seat of power be in, or the capital be in Ramallah, how would it be administratively possible to manage the affairs coming out of Gaza or vice versa of one area over the other? I mean, we've seen it would maybe but, East Pakistan, this, West Pakistan. This, it was a different time.
Yeah, exactly.
How would that be managed?
Exactly. This happened before in East and West Pakistan, which is East Pakistan, now it's Bangladesh. So this means this can be done. Remember, the economy of the West Bank and Gaza is 100% Israeli. The currency is shekel. The labor, most of the labor in both areas are working in Israel proper. So it can be solved. These can be solved in many ways, but what is the U.S. is worried about that the apartheid system will be dismantled, and the Zionists are fully exposed. So they are in a very weak position, and the state of Israel cannot sustain itself for another 75 years, even if they destroy it. Even if it is possible to destroy Hamas today, it will be another Hamas tomorrow or under a different name. Remember, Hamas is the last established resistance movement. The first one was a communist under George Habash, and Israel also assassinated George Habash, the same as Sheikh Yassin of Hamas. So either you have a similar scenario of Israel last 75 years, project that in the next 75 years, or you can finish this for good for everybody, including, remember, the U.S.
When it comes to the negotiators, currently we've seen Qatar, playing a long-time role because of Qatari relations, especially with Hamas. But in the future, do you see other nations, other countries like Saudi Arabia, taking the initiative, also realizing that for us there is a diplomatic corridor for us to explore, and we can't just leave that diplomatic corridor to the Qataris, to the Egyptians, but we can also stage our, a role, and we have a role to play in negotiating between the Palestinian resistance and the state of Israel.
I think this is doable. The U.S. and Saudi Arabia have a good strategic relationship since the 1930s, and this can be used. But this will be the second step. This is an add-on value to the current negotiation. I think the strategy of Netanyahu is the bottom line. He's dragging it on. He cannot deliver a total victory, so he will drag on this till January.
Dr. Al-Masri, finally, the issue of Rafah. We've seen a huge chunk of the Palestinian population from the rest of Gaza now currently living in the most difficult of conditions in Rafah. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli IDF ministers as well as their generals have mentioned that a ground offensive is imminent and in fact necessary in order to remove Hamas. We've seen pressure being put on them by the U.S., by other countries as well. And I would say that would be the very lifeblood of the protest action that is taking place on many campuses. Do you foresee Mr. Netanyahu going ahead with the Rafah operation?
I think Netanyahu is using the Rafah operation as a pressure. And he said that pressure on Hamas for the negotiation. Because if he actually goes into Rafah, he doesn't have any pressure cards anymore on Hamas. I mean, for the last 6-7 months now, he didn't really achieve much except the destruction and the death and misery for the Palestinians. So he will double that, triple that. But in the final analysis, he cannot win. This is it would be a disaster. Israel already have a bad name. Israeli citizen cannot really travel safely to many places. They are ashamed of what their government doing. Jewish population, even in the U.S., you see the demonstration now. They call not in our name. So he cannot actually take the risk on going to Rafah.
Dr. Mohammed Al-Masri, shukran jazakumullah khairan for joining us on Radio Islam International with this discussion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.